patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So we're going to call this an emergency WBC Finals podcast because we have to break down yesterday's game. It was absolutely incredible. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the walk-off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. And we're bringing in the big guns for this one. Garth, welcome back to the walk-off, man. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us here.
Oh, man. Thanks so much for having me this morning.
You got your Angels hat on, by the way.
Yep.
There you go.
I had to. I had to, like, break it out of storage. Like, this is an old one. This is a California Angels hat, like, late 80s.
Back from the Angels in the outfield days, if you will. Yes.
Pre-Angels in the outfield. Like, this is like Rod Carew shit right here.
Yes, it is. Love it. And a little tip of the hat to the Angels is almost a necessity this morning after what we watched yesterday. So let's get into it here. Obviously, if you missed this game, you're going to honestly think that we are overshooting it and over-exaggerating what a significance this has to the world of baseball.
I missed the game.
Oh, man.
I did.
Adam's parents are in town. He's being a good son.
Being a good son.
I literally would have, like, disowned my parents to watch this game.
I have been out on the World Baseball Classic the whole time. I'm not, like, Keith Olbermann out on it. I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm just, like, apathetic towards it. That being said, I did watch the Jean Boy breakdown of that final at bat, and pretty cool.
What's wild about that at bat is that if you were the head of the WBC and you were planning how you could acquire the most interest from people who maybe are outside of the baseball realm normally, this is literally how you would write it. Like, it is just, it's mind blowing that it played out this way. And if you're listening right now, feel free to drop in the comments where you feel this game falls within the most significant game/moments in baseball history. Cause I truly believe this is a top 10 moment. There, I was racking my brain this morning, Garth, when we were chatting on Twitter there. And I was just like, what has happened that could be ranked above this? And honestly, outside of, and it's a little bit different too, because this was a game seven type feel, right? Like with elimination on the line, you don't always get that same kind of moments. And the only thing I could really think of was 4 days in October, the Boston Red Sox breaking the curse of the great Bambino coming back from 3-0. Like, I can't think of anything other than that.
That's a big moment, obviously, but it's not a moment. It is a series of events that led to something crazy. I mean the entire game, like, you could not have scripted it better. In my thread that I posted on Twitter today, that's going kind of crazy right now.
You're at Garth the Orgy on Twitter, by the way, everybody. Follow Garth and check out this thread, because it hits the nail on the head.
There were so many things that had to, like, go right for this to happen. First off, you need two players that are arguably the greatest players of their generation at the same time. That does not happen. You know, like, Barry Bonds didn't have a Shohei Ohtani, you know?
A counterpart, you know?
Yeah, like somebody who you could genuinely say, like, that might be the second best, like, they're 1A and 1B. You don't, like, this is rare. And then to have them both play on the same team, and then both of their teams make the finals, and then, like, everything work out so that they face each other with two out in the ninth inning with a one-run lead. Like, this would be like, fuck, I don't know. Like if Ken Griffey came in to save the World Series in Game 7 against Barry Bonds hitting. Like, it's just mind-blowing. Like, it just, it could not happen. And if you went to Disney and said, hey, I wrote a script about, you know, this awesome baseball story, like, they would laugh you out of the meeting because it would just be horseshit. Like,
yeah.
And like I know there's been breakdowns of that at bat, and rightfully so. Like, but there are so many little things about that at bat that are just crazy. Like, the first pitch, Ohtani threw 88 miles an hour. The ball was a fraction, like, an inch off the plate. Mike Trout fucking spit on it. Like, the best hitter in baseball, because he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, like, most guys are swinging out of their shoes in that. Next pitch, 100 miles an hour. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Like, everyone's talking about that slider, and then the count's 2-1. And Shohei literally throws 100 miles an hour down the center of the plate.
And Trout, like Trout couldn't do anything with it.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, when he started his swing for a split second, in my head, I was like, this is out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he had bad intentions when he swung the bat on that fourth pitch. But, like, it started with the first pitch. Like, it was just a fraction out of the zone, and Mike Trout's like, nah, I'm good. And, like, everyone's like, how did he not swing at that? Second pitch, 100 miles an hour, blew past Trout. Third pitch, 100 miles an hour, which was even closer than the first pitch. And Trout's just like, nah, that's a ball. And it was.
Yeah.
But it was like no one else in baseball is not swinging at that ball. Like, everyone's swinging at it.
We're going to get right back to this, but I did want to bring up, wasn't the umpiring amazing? Oh. Did you notice that the whole tournament, umpires weren't brought up once?
Not once. Everything was great. And like, can you imagine just having such a great tournament and then being that umpire who fucks up like that at bat? Like,
yeah, stuff was on the line for them. Sorry, Adam, go ahead.
I wonder if there wasn't a discreet robo ump assistance in their earpiece.
Yeah, man.
It was so good. Like, I mean, we're walking through this last at bat, and these calls that are that close, nothing was blown.
That fourth pitch was about an inch off the plate. It was 100 miles an hour. Shohei wanted it. Mike Trout's just like, no. Nah. So then it's 2-2. And I knew, like, when I was watching it, I'm like, Ohtani's going to, like, bounce one in here. Like, I know it, because it has to get to a full count. It has to. Like, he isn't, like, it has to. He's not going to strike him out on a 2-2 count. It's going to be 3-3 because the fucking baseball gods decided that last night.
They're like, take this, Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, KFC barstool asshole. Like, this is why this game is important. So it gets to a full count. And Ohtani, like, everyone is like, fastball up, fastball up, fastball up. Everyone thinks it's coming. Ohtani's like, no, I'm dropping an 87 mile an hour slider in there with insane movement. Like, that thing must have had 20 inches horizontal movement. Like, it was just insane.
The guts Ohtani showed that whole at bat was impressive. Yeah. He went straight out after him. And this is a stat that really stood out to me. But Mike Trout has had 3 swinging strikes in only 24 of his 6,174 MLB plate appearances. When Mike Trout is swinging the bat, he does not miss, like, let alone 3 times.
Yeah. It was just, like, I don't think we're going to be able to process historically what this has done for baseball for 10 years. Like,
I'm hooked. I mean, I truly believe that this was the year that put this tournament on the map.
Yeah. This is like the World Cup of, you know, in football. This is going to be, you know, the Olympics in hockey. Like, this is going to be
significant worldwide. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
And it wasn't just this game that did it. Like, the entire production.
Honestly, Garth, that's what made last night's game so impressive to me, because after that Japan-Mexico game, all I could think is there's a letdown coming. There is no way that the U.S. and Japan can top this. There's no way they can match it, because that Mexico-Japan game, man, that was drama at its finest.
I tweeted right after that game that it was one of the best games that I've seen in a very, very long time. And like, I've watched Jays in the playoffs, and it didn't compare to that Mexico-Japan game. Like, it was so important to those players. Mm-hmm. So important, you know, and like, people are coming at me on Twitter now saying that, well, how can you say it's the most important at bat in baseball history? Because it wasn't like two guys in the World Series. It was the two greatest players of our generation. I think Ohtani is the greatest player I've ever seen. I put that to bed last night. Like, he is the best baseball player in the history of baseball. I don't give a shit what you come up with. He is. But to have both of those guys come up representing their country, like,
yeah,
like,
that's the thing. The passion the players had for the games they were playing was next level. Yeah. It was next level. And I mean, Adam Wainwright summed it up best when he was doing that interview after the game there with Rosenthal when they beat Cuba. And he was just like, I've never been in an atmosphere like this. He's like, we're not getting paid to play here. This is all for the love of our country. And he meant it. This is coming from a 42-year-old veteran pitcher with 20 plus years of experience in Major League Baseball. And he's saying that
with rings.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, people who don't seem to want to grasp the enormity of it. They're like, oh, well, what about Gibson when he hit the home run off Eckersley, or fucking Bill Mazeroski, blah, blah, blah.
Those are big moments.
But they are the biggest moments in Major League Baseball history. They're not the biggest moments in baseball history. Like, this is going to do more to grow the game in every other country than any Kirk Gibson home run could have ever done.
Internationally, I don't think that there has ever been a baseball moment like this, or even something that you could say is close. Like, this is like a moment on its own. Adam, I know your face, you're making faces here. I'd love to hear what you're thinking, buddy, because I know you didn't watch. So I kind of am interested in that perspective, too, because in your mind, you're like, how could this possibly be the case, right?
No. Like, I recognize, I mean, just from a viewership standpoint.
100 million viewers 100 last million night,
viewers
way.
Last night. And then also the biggest, I mean, everything you guys just talked about, the enormity of the matchups, arguably 1A and 2B of the top players in baseball going currently, right? Like, two just insane generational talents facing off. Yeah, it's like you said, if you were to take that script to Disney, they'd laugh you out of their office because it's too cheesy, right? It's too ridiculous. Oh, of course they're going to have a thing. Like, oh, sure, right? I don't know. It's you add that on top of 100 million viewers worldwide or whatever the numbers ended up being in the end, and how many times even people who didn't view it are going to watch the clips or that final inning on YouTube or whatever on the MLB channel. Like, it's going to get another 200 million replays on TikTok and all the places.
It's almost there already.
Like, so, yeah, I mean, from a significance or an impact on the game, yeah, probably. I don't know. Like,
the only thing that I can think that's even comparable to growing the game internationally was back in like the 20s when Babe Ruth and like those dudes did a barnstorming tour around Japan. And 2 years later, because of that little exhibition that they had, that's when they started a professional baseball league. You know, like that, but that was an entire event. Like,
the fact it even wound up being the two biggest baseball superpowers in the world is incredible, especially when you look at how many scenarios could have went down that would have derailed this, right? Like, it 2 days ago, Mexico looked like they were going to knock them off. Like, it took Japan to the ninth inning to come together. And then to have Japan and the U.S. as the two finalists. And what I love too, man, is the starting pitching. So, like, just the names is the most, like, Japanese and then American names you could possibly get, right? Like, Shota Amanaga. And then there's Merle Kelly. Merle! Get on the mound, Merle!
I talked about it in my thread about how I think the third most important person of all of this is a Japanese manager. The way he managed his bullpen last night.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Make sure that Ohtani was going to be the dude.
Yeah.
Because you know Ohtani went to him and it's like, because they were talking about like, oh, is he going to be able to pitch? Like, were they going to? Shohei was like, you're putting me in the fucking ninth inning. I don't care. I'm shutting this shit down. You know he did.
Yeah.
You know he did. But to be able to manage, like, he managed the bullpen spectacularly against that U.S. lineup. Like, he played matchups. He did everything perfect. They talked like he was saying that he was the Joe Madden of Japanese baseball. Like, this guy would he'd manage circles around all of the managers in MLB. Like, it was a masterclass of how you attack your opponent on the pitching side. Like, it was amazing.
Shohei Ohtani became one of the greatest leaders in baseball history last night, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you had a chance to watch his pump-up speech before the game, but yeah. it was so on point and it was so motivating. And basically he just stood up in front of these his Japanese counterparts, his Japanese players. And he was like, all this admiration that you have for the American team for one day, throw it out the window, right? Like, we do not admire this team. We go head to head with this team for one game. Which really speaks to, like, the difference between American culture and Japanese culture, too, because you could see there was a respect level showing throughout the tournament from the Japanese players, especially towards that American team that, like Shohei said, it was admiration. It was like, holy shit, those are the big guys, right?
Yeah. Well, you look across the mound and it's like, holy shit, there's Mike Trout and Mookie Betts and Nolan Arenado and, like, a who's who of, like, great baseball players.
That might have even been the greatest baseball team ever assembled. The only reason there's arguments it's not is the pitching. Like, literally, that offense that the U.S. like, strutted out there, like, I can't, unreal. Man. I can't.
Trey Turner hit ninth most of the tournament.
And tied the record for home runs, like, in the nine spot.
and, like, you mentioned respect, like, man, you guys know what Twitter can be like during baseball season. It's a fucking cesspool. People are bickering and, like, cherry picking stats to.
Yeah,
I didn't see much of that. I saw Oberman and the KFC asshole, like, those guys, whatever, who cares? But I mean, for fans of baseball, there's no one that's gonna say, like, oh, the U.S. got cheated and it's bullshit. Everyone's just like, man, that tournament was unreal. It was so good. It was some of the best baseball I've seen in forever. Like, there's so many people just talking about how, like, disrespectfully, like, whoa, man, like, Mexico, like, they got a team, or like, hey, Puerto Rico, they got some dudes. Like, it was not, you know, like, nitpicking little minute bullshit details. It was like, this is good baseball. Everyone loves it. Like,
and because,
it was just a fun tournament.
Because I am such a huge baseball nerd, obviously most of my friends are also baseball nerds and a wide range of opinions on all sorts of baseball stuff. But honestly, there was not one person. I mean, there were some guys who were like, I'm just not into the tournament, but there was nobody who was like, this tournament is bullshit. This tournament is, you know, like, you really have to search through the bowels of Twitter to find those guys.
Yeah. They're, like, called Mets fans because they lost Edwin Diaz. It's the only people who are upset by this tournament.
Exactly. And, like,
I mean, the Astros need another second baseman now, but yes, I do get what you're saying. Yes.
But that shit could happen. You're telling me Altuve couldn't got hit with a pitch in spring training? Of course he could.
Of course he could.
Gabriel Moreno did, and he's out now with Arizona because he got hit by a pitch. Like, that happens. It's baseball. Like, if you're going to complain that, oh, injuries happen in the WBC, then why are we even playing baseball? Like, let's just go to the postseason. Like, whatever team looks best on paper, put them in the playoffs, because someone might get hurt in a meaningless game. Like,
by the way, go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
No, I just wanted to step in and say, I do have like a few like nitpicky gripes, but like, I want to just let this breathe because you guys are so excited and I don't want this to be a, you guys are having fun with this moment. And I'm like, yeah, but what about this? What about this? So I'm going to save that until this is done. And then we'll just keep it rolling for the Patreon. And then the Patreon can listen to me bitch about nitpicky details, but okay. Continue. I am enjoying this.
Listen, the tournament's not perfect, but boy, oh boy, did I ever enjoy it this year. But I did. We're going to take a little bit of a left turn here because Masataka Yoshida, this guy opened my eyes over this tournament. You know, and I was one of the first guys who, when Boston signed him 5 years, $90 million, I was like, what are they doing? Like, this is a man who's never played Major League Baseball. How could you be so bullish on a dude who's never swung a bat in a major league batting box? And buddy, like, I truly have no doubt that he's going to be great for that Red Sox team. That deal is going to pale in comparison to the thorn in the side that the Brandon Nimmo deal is going to be for the Mets. Like, truly, they went off board and now they are looking really good. And obviously he still hasn't played a major league game. So I am going to hit the brakes a little bit, but you know, we're talking about a dude who performed at the highest level.
Yeah.
Against the best players from around the world.
And it's opened eyes to a lot of people like, yeah, Yoshida, the dude can ball, man. He's great. But like Murakami, the guy just broke Sadaharu Oh's record for most home runs in the Japanese league. He hit 56. And yeah. Everyone's like, oh, he's doing nothing in this tournament. Oh, he only hit a home run in the final and he won with a semifinal, you know, with a double. Yeah. Like,
well, that was the thing too. That semifinal moment, like when he came in, there was speculation he might lay down a bunt. Think about this. This is the guy who broke the major, the Japanese record for most home runs in a season last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, oh, hey, Aaron Judge, go lay down a bunt. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? And Roki Sasaki, like that kid is going to, when he becomes available, he's making $300 million out of the gate.
Yeah.
The second he becomes available, like there is somebody that's going to, like, I don't think he can come until the end of 2026. I believe the second he gets posted, every team in Major League Baseball is going to be like, hey, here's 10 years, $300 million. Like,
Garth, he was hitting 99 with his slider. Like, yeah. What? He was touching 103 in March.
He's 21 years old. And it's not 103 like a straight pitch. Like Hunter Green, he can hit 103, but his pitch is pretty straight. Man, Sasaki is like 103 wiffle ball. Like, the kid is unreal. Like, I think we have to realize that, like, there's a lot of American fans who, rightfully so, like, they still develop the most high-end players. But, like, these other countries are nipping at their heels. It's like when Canada loses in hockey. We're just like, oh, you know, like, these countries are not far behind. And their leagues are not, like, bush leagues.
No.
These guys can play.
That was like one thing that did kind of I don't know. It's not like I had any disrespect for these other leagues around the world. However, I did truly have them as a double A comparative to Major League Baseball. And this tournament really showed that that is a bullshit opinion. Yeah.
Like there was guys on teams that I've never heard of, like that Nicaraguan quick kid that went out and struck out Soto, Machado, Devers, and then got himself a major league contract.
Like you said, like, there were kids the major leagues hadn't heard of where scouts were like, how did this guy fall through the cracks? Like, get him a contract.
I think it opened up so many eyes to people who just had this like U.S. centric view of baseball, and it's a beautiful thing. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's hard to put into words what this tournament did for me and for a lot of baseball fans. Like, it was just,
it was really important, but it was also just such a breath of fresh air to watch baseball in March that looked like baseball in October and November. Like it felt like the playoffs. It had drama, it had passion, it had the players engaged at a higher level than you would ever see during a major league regular season game. It was magic, man. It was freaking magic.
I tweeted a couple days ago, like somebody mentioned like, oh, I've never seen Mike Trout show so much emotion. It's like, yeah, because the Angels are fucking dog shit every year. Like, of course he's winning. He's on a winning team. Like, of course he's going to show emotion. Like, what do you expect him to do when his team never makes the playoffs? Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. That has nothing to do with Mike Trout's legacy as a baseball player. Mike Trout is still one of the 5 or 10 best players that ever swung a bat. And because
if anything, it has something to do with the legacy of Art Moreno in freaking LA and what a terrible owner he is. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I think this is like, hey, Mike Trout isn't like, because people are like, oh, Mike Trout, he's a loser player. That's horseshit. In team sports, one guy, like, unless it's basketball and you're Michael Jordan or LeBron, you cannot carry a team. And this just kind of showed it. Like, you give Mike Trout some dudes, you know, he's pretty good.
You give Mike Trout Trey Turner hitting ninth in the lineup, he's gonna kill it every time.
yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I think we delved into this pretty nicely. Did you have anything else to kind of add here, Garth? We were just gonna do a quick little thing just on this. So
yeah, no, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. Hey.
Thanks for joining us, buddy. I it's funny because even when Adam was like, I didn't watch it last night, I was like, oh man, how am I gonna get all pumped up and excited without having someone else who's seen it?
I was prepared to just be a good audience member and just listen to a nice TED talk. So, but
because you do, it was a dual spot. What's got to be done, Adam, every time, buddy.
I do what it takes. Adam,
you're a better man than I, because there's no fucking way my in-laws would have. So my parents would have stopped me from watching that game. So
it was family combined with apathy in general. Again, not against the tournament, just a lack of interest.
I think
maybe next 3 years from now will be different. Next
WBC, everyone is going to be on it a little bit earlier.
I would agree.
We talked about it on a long toss. Like, we mentioned, oh, the WBC is coming up, and we're all like, what, really? Like,
yeah.
I didn't even know it was happening, you know, and I'm a pretty locked in baseball dude.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I'm the second they put out tickets, like, I'm traveling next time.
I know. I felt the same way. Even it's funny, cause I even looked into it, and man, there was a moment there where flying from Calgary to Arizona was $250 round trip for me. And then on top of it, I looked into the Great Britain, Canada tickets, and they were $11, and I was just like, oh, I wish I wasn't booked this weekend. I would be there, man.
It's cheaper than going to a Jays game.
Yeah.
Well, we missed our opportunity, man, because the next tournament we will not be getting $11 tickets.
No, I know.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up there. I do have some gripes that I want to get to. I want to save it for a less happy moment. This has been a happy, fun podcast. Garth, stick around. Okay. Everybody else, come join us on Patreon, and we'll poo-poo a little bit. But Scott, do you want to
go ahead and drop in the comments, too, what you thought about this tournament and last night's game in general. Would love to hear the varying opinions out there. Thanks again to the whole Walk-Off community. We really appreciate all of you. At Walk-Off Podcast on Twitter. At Garthy Orgy on Twitter. Follow them. Follow us. The Walk-Off Podcast on Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We will see you Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drop. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.